Welcome to the Critical Few Actions to Improve Your Business podcast. I'm John Downes and I'm here to help you cut through the overwhelm and prioritize what matters most to improve your business. Let's get started and discover the critical few actions that have the biggest impact. Today, I'd like to introduce you to Dr. Craig Peacock, who I believe is one of Australia's foremost experts on business case development for large, small, and complex changes and investment decisions. I've known Craig for over 15 years after we met through our executive positions with the Institute of Management Consultants. Craig has a PhD, is a certified management consultant, and has been helping businesses and their management teams to develop business cases all over the world, from Melbourne to Brisbane, from London to USA, the Middle East, and everywhere in between. Craig, welcome.
Thank you very much, John. It's a pleasure to be here and participate in the podcast.
So, Craig, today we're going to talk about all things that AI can't tell us, how to handle those high-value and or high-risk investments that we can't afford to go wrong. But first, tell me a bit about your journey into business case development.
Yeah, sure, John. Yeah, so probably 25 to 30 years ago, I was managing the consulting practice for ASX-listed firm, and it was the end of the Y2K era, and we were doing business cases for Australian listed firms, multinationals in the area of technology adaption. And out of that, we developed a skill set. And I did a number of consulting projects with the major Australian firms where we did multiple business cases every year over a 25-year journey.
Yeah, that is some journey. So in the context of medium businesses, what is a business case and why prepare one?
Yeah, good question, John. So we see that business cases are decision-making tools for organizations in terms of making a decision on where best to invest in a new project, a new opportunity, a new technology system. And it looks at what are the different options that we have. Simple language, an option could be, let's go and buy something. An option could be, let's go and build something. Another option could be, let's go and borrow or lease something. So the business case looks at a range of options, looks at the risks, looks at how could we implement this, and then makes a recommendation to the board, to the executive team on this is the best option that's going to create long-term value for our organization.
Yeah, I remember in my own experience, you know, I spent a lot of time when I was at Deloitte Consulting actually preparing business cases for large ERP systems, large IT systems. And at one stage, I was also preparing the business case for the reconstruction of the new county court in Victoria, which was a pretty large, complex investment, high risk, high value, and really sensitive, both politically and also from a people perspective. And it certainly taught me a lot about some of the challenges with dealing with multiple stakeholders, but also having to come up with a fairly sound, well, in fact, a very sound, robust financial case that was going to pass the, as we call it now, the pub test.
Yeah.
So Craig, if I want to prepare a business case, all I've got to do obviously is just go to GPT or Google or Claude. And given that you're a world recognized authority, it'll probably give me 100-word synopsis of that article that you wrote 10 years ago. So I'm not sure if we could just wrap up the podcast right now, but I take it there's just a smidge more to it than just filling out a template and handing it to a decision maker or a lender.
That's right, John. Yeah. So the AI tool, then we've created a number of AI tools for developing business cases. They are very helpful tools, but it's that deep insights around the business case opportunity that the AI tools can't give you. So if I use a practical example,
yeah,
say if you're a medium-sized business owner and you want to raise some private funding to expand your business, so the opportunity, say revenue growth, say new distribution channels, additional customers, and you need that funding to grow those distribution channels. It's that's where that deep person, the deep human expertise around how we're going to win those customers, how we're going to set up those distribution channels, and how we're going to make it work and where our evidence is. That's what's that human input, that decision, that ability to say, yes, this is a real market opportunity. That's where I don't see AI replacing.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, you know, a lot of what you described there is actually imagination, creativity, reason, thinking, and as well as market experience. Yes, AI will be able to give us, and this is not an AI bashing discussion, it's just a matter of context. You know, AI will be able to give us an enormous amount of research. It'll be able to help us draft fairly compelling arguments once we've actually determined what those arguments really need to be and how they should be shaped. But it won't replace the need for judgment.
Correct.
And the insight.
Yeah. Yeah. And that judgment and insight is critical at each of the different stages in that end-to-end business case journey.
Mm.
So one of those judgment decisions is way up front at the beginning of the business case process is, why do we need to evaluate or pursue this opportunity now? And is this the right opportunity? So having clarity way up front, ability to say, yep, we need to pursue this now, is really critical versus let's just go and spend X number of weeks and we develop a business case. And then at the end of it, the board or the executive team says, good business case, used a lot of AI tools, but it's not the right opportunity for us now. And so you've wasted all that time. So there's some really important decisions that say a person who's leading a business case project needs to make at each of the different stages.
Mm. So in that context, you want to take us through the, what is it, five stages or so of developing a business case and how AI and judgment are applied to both. And maybe that would be really good if you could do that in the context of a client project that you've been working on.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So the first step is clarifying what the opportunity is.
Mm.
So we've done a recent business case for a market expansion with a new financial services. And very first stage is really having clear understanding of what that market opportunity is and a really good understanding of why the customers will purchase that and how they could expand their distribution channels.
Mm-hmm.
And in that very first stage, we call it the confirm the opportunity. We want to really understand and get clarity and sign-off from the board or the CEO around the specific opportunity that we're exploring. So then the next stage we go into is what's the different options that we have available? And so from a board perspective, that's a really important question because as a board member and someone is recommending a investment project, we're thinking in the back of the mind, have they considered all the different options and alternatives, or are they just presenting to us the option that they want? And so in that step two, we need to evaluate a long list of options and make sure that we use some strategic screening criteria to say, well, these are the three or four options that we're going to do a deep evaluation of. And so from a board perspective, that gives us credibility. So we're saying we evaluated or we considered 15 different options around strategic alliances, say, and we discounted those because we needed that deep expertise in-house. We didn't want to have that as an outside strategic alliance. And so, so then that narrows the range of options down. So that's really critical in, say, step two. Have we got the right options? Have we considering the right options? Then in step three, what we typically do is we do that deep evaluation, modeling, and financial analysis. And there, from a board or executive perspective, we're saying this option is the best value. It's got the lowest risk, or we've mitigated the risk, and we can successfully implement it. And in our experiences, AI doesn't replace that. That sort of activity takes 60% of the overall effort. So we're building really robust models. So in
all those financial models have actually based on real world experience, quotations, estimations, projections, and so on.
Yeah.
AI can't come up with that for you.
Correct. And then it's how, and then making judgment calls around how robust your modeling is, and the weaknesses of using averages versus developing models over 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, 7 year periods.
And being really clear about what assumptions you've had to make that need to be tested.
Correct. Yeah. And then in step four, we're looking at how do we implement this recommendation and how do we set it up for long-term success, that if we're recommending a new, say, financial or a new product, a new service, how do we set this up? How do we implement it so that our new product, our new services achieve the revenue targets, achieve the number of customers in the first 6 months, 12 months, 24 months? Mm. So we're developing a really good implementation strategy, change manager, addressing all the risk. And so from a board perspective, then it's saying, can this team actually achieve what they're saying? And so from a business case perspective, from a board perspective, you want to give confidence to the board. And then in the fifth step, we document the business case, we develop and recommend the change management strategies, the implementation, the investment. It's all summarized succinctly in a really good document or a slide deck, and we clearly frame it on how it's going to help achieve the organization's strategic plan and the executive scorecard KPIs.
Mm. And as you said, you've developed a whole raft of AI tools to actually support the business case process. Do you want to just walk through those five steps and just talk about where AI is really helpful in that process, in effectively augmenting the human skill?
Yeah. So in the very first step, if you've been given the responsibility to develop a business case and it's high value, high risk, so it's going to be a medium-sized project. So therefore, you need a project plan, you need a project strategy to develop your business case. And so we have a AI tool that develops project plans for creating business cases.
Right.
And in that project plan, we then, you put in what the opportunity is, you put in 10, 15 different inputs, and then we give you really good insights into how you can do the financial modeling, how you can manage the risk of that project, of that business case as a project. And we look at the options. We give you a whole long list of options. So it's a really good brainstorming tool that we generate all insights into the success factors that are important if you're to successfully build a compelling and a robust business case.
Mm.
So that's the tool that we use in the very first step.
Yeah.
And then that provides some really good insights around a long list of options, what strategic framework you'd use to filter those in the step two.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you some really good insights into the modeling. What are the modeling factors, the success, and all that sort of stuff. And then when we get into documenting the business case, so we've done the modeling, then we need to produce a compelling, robust document. So the My Business Case tool that develops a really good business case document in a professionally formatted Word format. And we have about 30 different templates. So if you're doing a capital equipment business case, it's a different framing than if you're doing a merger and acquisition business case, or you're doing a local government community event business case. So all of these business cases have different sections. They're all similar, but we're using the power of AI to get them really succinctly documented and written. So then we've got a couple of other tools. We develop a risk plan for the implementation of the project that you're recommending, and we use AI to help do a first draft. And then we've got a financial analysis tool that takes your modeling outputs and make some really good recommendations or insights around the financial strength, the financial sustainability, and also the project funding. So how are you going to fund it? So it gives you some really good inputs, and then that gets fed into your business case document. And then we've got a slide deck tool that takes your business case document and creates a really good slide deck for your board presentations.
So that's a really thorough suite of AI tools that actually supports, augments, you know, a project leader who's going through the business case development process. They've probably got a couple of options when they first start figuring out what the real question is, but then they can actually build that out and test whether or not there are others that they hadn't thought of. They can test the veracity of their financial analysis.
Yes.
They can fine-tune the way they actually draft the document and the way they might present the various arguments, as well as effectively have a template that actually helps them make sure they don't miss anything that's fairly obvious or a board is suspected in it. And one of the things I liked was that you emphasised that, you know, we've got to be taking a board's mindset. So it's actually not the project that's trying to convince itself that it's a great project. Yeah, that's nice. But at the end of the day, are we providing something of sufficient robustness, thoroughness, mutually exclusive, collectively exhaustive analysis that a board can say, yep, we'll commit to this in our fiduciary duty as representatives of the shareholders and the board?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point, John. So what I've observed over 25 years is a young business case lead is really focused on how do I get this business case document approved?
How do I get it across the line? Yep.
How do I get it across the line? And I'm fine-tuning numbers and I'm doing this and I've made these gross assumptions. Whereas what you're saying and what I've experienced is from a board perspective is, will this really work? If we're going to invest X dollars, millions, 10 million, are we really going to get this long-term outcome and benefit? Will this team implement this recommendation so it becomes business as usual operations and we're going to get those outcomes and benefits? Have we undercooked the change management? Have we undercooked the training? Have we undercooked this? There's still in big inherent risk here. So the board is saying, will this deliver the long-term outcomes? And the young business case lead is, how do I get it across the line? How do I massage the numbers so I've got a positive NPV and it looks...
Yeah, and the board's got a really good point, not just because their own reputation's on the line, but also if you go into the Gartner analysis that's been around for the last 20 years, 70 to 80% of large IT projects fail to deliver the benefits that were first anticipated. So it's not just a matter of coming up with a whole bunch of benefits and some analysis to say that the net present value says it's got a good payback. It's also about, well, is your implementation plan thorough, robust, and addressing each of the risks that actually need to be dealt with? Is there somebody capable who's going to actually lead this? Has it got stakeholder engagement across the organisation? And will it actually, when we switch it over, will our people actually adopt it as opposed to go through the traditional tissue rejection process that we've all seen so many times? So the board has to protect themselves from the enthusiastic business case analyst. And also the business case analyst or lead also needs to protect their future professional reputation by doing a thorough, comprehensive job. Because at the end of the day, we're looking for the right option, not just the right option they like.
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
And so given that, Craig, can you walk me through an example of a project that you've done where you felt that that was challenged?
Yeah. So I guess I'm thinking about a few different examples.
And I guess while you're thinking about that, one of the things that we probably haven't mentioned is that, you know, not only are you a business case expert and a thought leader, but largely your day job is actually coaching and supporting teams across the world to develop business cases. And so I take it there's probably been a couple of hundred in the last few years. Would that be right?
So we've had the privilege of coaching, training, mentoring finance teams across Europe to develop better business cases. So we're talking multinationals, where the weaknesses are in developing business cases are around the strategic alignment. So typically we see that an individual has strong domain expertise. It could be an engineer with a product, it could be a salesperson with the customer growth, and it could be a finance person with the numbers and the cost. The what is lacking is that broad perspective of how does this align with the corporate strategic plan? How does it align to the executive scorecard? How do I set it up for implementation success? And often we see that these people, these leads, struggle in terms of that cross-functional involvement. Yeah.
So, yeah, well, when I was working in the States around 2000 and the Y2K, you know, there was traditionally business cases weren't a thing in the US. If you had a problem, you just pour more money on it and it solved it. I mean, that's probably being flippant because there were some really diligent and well-governed processes. But on the whole, that sort of analysis wasn't taken particularly seriously and it wasn't done particularly rigorously. But what, you know, particularly around Y2K, people were at that stage sort of saying, well, I don't know if my existing system's going to pass the Y2K test. Therefore, I don't have a choice. I just have to go and buy the latest version of SAP, PeopleSoft, Oracle, whatever it was, and we'll slam it in. But even in that I don't have a choice scenario, actually, there were choices. There were choices about how much and how fast. There were choices about what was the deployment model. There were choices about how did we actually ensure that we didn't have tissue rejection through thorough and appropriate change management and training, which are two completely different things. And so that was actually quite transformative for some of the organizations I worked with because it took their success rate from being 50, 60, 70% up to the 90s. Because they'd actually thought through more than just going live with an IT system.
Yeah. Yeah. So in our experiences and in coaching and mentoring people around the world, we see that there's, say, different types of business cases. So the very first one may be an options business case. You know, what are our strategic options? And then, as you said, then the next stage would be, okay, this is the best option. We need to replace our ERP system. We go into what's sometimes called a final business case or an implementation business case. Mm. And then as you were describing, John, what's the best way to implement this? Do we do it in-house? Do we bring the schools in? How much expertise will we retain going forward? And so there may be a burning platform. There may be a real strategic need that we must move very, very quickly. You're quite correct. There's a range of options and alternatives. And within that, we must move really quick. Which of those options is best value for money strategically, financially, from a societal perspective? And so that's where you may have a short amount of time, but you still need to make a recommendation that's best for the organization.
Mm, absolutely. And so when we look at developing a business case for an investment, whether it be a new factory or a go-to-market strategy into it, or a new product line or an offshore expansion, What does a medium business need to do to get business case ready and start the ball rolling? Because frankly, most medium businesses probably haven't done a lot of business case preparation in the past. The ones that I've worked with, you know, whether they're at the 5 to 20 million mark or at the 20 to 100 million mark, you know, they're still largely driven by insight and passion. And as a result of that, they usually find out it costs twice as much and takes twice as long for them to get the outcome that they first envisioned. So how do they get business case ready?
Yeah, good question, John. Thinking about the strategic options way up front. So if you're looking at expanding or looking at setting up a new factory, and I've had the privilege of coaching and mentoring a few people who have done business cases for major factories in the Middle East and in Australia. And it's the strategy. What's the strategic options? What strategy is best for us? And then within that strategy, within that strategic direction intent, then you're looking at the options, the alternatives, and then the modeling. And I keep using that word modeling. So that means, you know, what's the cost to develop, to build that new factory or to expand it? And then where's the revenue growth? Where's the customer revenue growth going to come from? Who are the customers? What evidence do you have that the customers are prepared to pay for it? And then how long will it take to grow your revenue stream with a new factory? And how much revenue is at risk? How much is with existing customers? So it's that strategic context first, getting really good clarity, insight, and understanding of that, and thinking about, can the organization be successful in that strategic context? And then you go into more and more detail around looking at the different options and alternatives. How much will it cost? How much do we invest? How long will it take to pay it back?
Yeah. And so that's a really important part of that, getting ready to do it, because otherwise you can't even scope out what the business case process and project really looks like. From your experience, what are the sorts of gotchas? You know, what are the things that go wrong when you're putting together a business case?
Yeah, there's a few of those. Poor strategic alignment.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah, like in that situation of, say, expansion, building a new factory, it's, so you may have business development people, business units, and their understanding of the corporate strategy is different to the board's understanding of the corporate strategy.
Mm.
So to give you an example, and this was a real business case about 15 years ago, it was for a new factory to relocate the factory. So the factory was labor intensive, and the numbers backed up to go to a new premises with improved workflows.
Mm.
But from the board perspective, they were private equity funded, and the board's strategy was to sell the practice, which the business unit owners or the business team didn't know, the CEO wasn't aware of.
Right.
And so you had a mismatch between the shareholders.
Yeah.
Say, we need to sell this business in 2 years' time. We want to package it up with the lowest cost. We don't want to take on debt. And here's the CEO and the team saying, we need to improve our operations and become a lot more efficient, and we need to move it. And so poor strategic alignment meant that the business case was not approved. Mm. And that only came about in the presentation. So that's some of those strategic gotchas, where strategic misalignment.
Yeah, yeah. And politics can actually have a real impact there from the different stakeholders.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been involved with government business cases, and from that side, the politics in that final decision making, everything looks good, but then there's other things at play. And so on a gotcha moment, you want to uncover all those as early as you can in your business case process.
Yeah, and possibly in that particular environment, be aware that you'll never actually uncover them all. And there might be just a surprise waiting for you. But in a manufacturing client I had probably 10, 15 years ago, they made buses, and we were looking very much at, you know, how do we expand our customer base into the Middle East? in fact.
Yeah.
And that was a really interesting business case from the point of view of it wasn't so much the strategic issues, it was actually looking at the business case options around do we establish a manufacturing plant over there or yeah. do we actually license the designs and the technologies to a provider over there and de-risk it from our perspective. Yeah. And that caused a lot of deep thinking at both a strategic but also at an operational level about, you know, if we were going to go in country and set up a new factory, how were we going to actually mitigate our risks of being offshore and ignorant? How do we partner with and who do we partner with and what might that partnership look like versus setting up intellectual property alliances and to what extent we could actually control output and revenue and so on.
Yeah.
So it was quite a fascinating and in-depth thing. But I think the gotcha there was it would have been easy for us to have underestimated the challenge of going in country.
Yeah.
And also easy for us to underestimate the challenges of setting up trusting alliances for an IP sharing perspective. If you really want to kick off your strategic planning and work in a supportive environment with other CEOs and leaders, the CEO Masterclass in Strategic Planning and Implementation is for you. This 10-month small group course helps you craft your strategic plan, present it to a group of peer investors, and develop a habit of monthly implementation. Our waitlist is open now at criticalfewactions.com.au. And so, Craig, nobody likes surprises, and everybody needs to be involved who's going to be impacted by both the decision, the making of the decision, and the delivery of the outcome. How do you handle that?
Yeah. So it's really important that we involve the key business leaders in the business case development process. So we've spoken about the importance of modeling the financials. So to share with you an example, in the community health services area, we were developing a business case to set up the organization's sites for the next 15 years. And so population growth, population projections for their target clients was really important. So we ran weekly and then fortnightly sessions with the executive team around how we're modeling, how we're looking at the population growth, what their targeted clients were, and then looking at the different options, you know, like do we expand to 15 sites? Do we expand to 19 sites? Do we expand to 11 sites? And then what are the implications of managing those sites? So what's the site structure from a management team perspective and so forth? And so it was really critical to have those fortnightly briefing meetings with the executive team so that they had buy-in, they had ownership. And so when we went to then present the final business case, everyone was in agreement with this outcome. This option is best for us going forward.
Yeah. That's absolutely essential.
And I've experienced that in we did a merger and acquisition business case. And so we met for 15 minutes every 2 weeks with the chair of the board and the finance director talking about 5 minutes what we've done, what that meant for the merger and acquisition strategy going forward, and then what we were doing in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And so from a chair's perspective and a finance director's perspective, they were able to give us some really good insights. Or you should go and talk to so-and-so, or you should consider this because of this strategic play that's going on in the marketplace. This is really valuable. And so over a period of 12 weeks, we had six 15-minute briefing sessions, and they were so valuable in making sure, ensuring that our business case recommendation had really good strategic alignment.
Yeah. Any other gotchas that come to mind?
Yeah. I was just going to add that from a business case process, if the board says no, it's a good outcome.
Mm.
So if we go back to what I originally said, business cases or the business case process is a really good decision-making tool for organisations. If they say no, they've probably avoided a major catastrophe versus let's just go and do it and then everything goes wrong and then significantly impacts the future sustainability of the organisation.
Yeah. It's a really important point because your role as a lead on developing a business case is to facilitate a decision, facilitate an informed,
correct,
appropriate decision, not necessarily to get one particular answer, which you're dressing up all the other options as being crap to compare it against. At the end of the day, the board is to make an informed and appropriate decision. And whatever their decision is, it's their decision.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
And there'll no doubt be a whole bunch of factors that they're bringing into the mix that the business case may not be fully aware of. And that's not to say the business case is defective. It just means that there are a bunch of other experiences, factors, influences, possibly financial dimensions and other competing business cases that they're actually weighing up. Where do we put our investments of time, resources, people, et cetera?
Yeah.
Are you looking to pinpoint the areas that will make the biggest impact on your business? Check out the Organisation Performance and Value Diagnostic. This powerful tool lets you evaluate your business on multiple facets and provides email reminders to keep you on track. Head over to criticalfewactions.com.au and get started now. So, Craig, if a founder or a CEO is looking to start at a high value or a high risk investment, what critical few actions should they start doing tomorrow if they did nothing else?
Having really good clarity of the scope of the business case opportunity around what is the strategic opportunity, why now, then having good consideration of the range of options and alternatives that are available and some of those that are out of scope. So, and then having a good clarity around what are the types of long-term outcomes and benefits that we're after, and then what some of the strategic changes and impacts that would occur to our organization if we were to implement this or to approve and implement that. So that having that clarity up front is a really important way to get started. And then from a business case process, everyone who's working on it will be a lot more efficient and a lot more effective. But that we use the language strategic logic or that opportunity problem statement. Having that really well-defined is one of those critical few actions way up front that gives the business case process good clarity and helps you move faster along that journey.
Fantastic. Craig, as always, it's been an absolute delight to chat with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Michael Kim.
Thanks for listening to the Critical Few Actions podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and grab the downloadables from the show notes. And if you found this episode helpful, I'd really appreciate it if you share it with your peers and your team. Stay focused and take action. The Critical Few Actions podcast, including show notes and links, provides general information only and is not individualised business advice, nor can it be relied upon as such. You must take responsibility for your own advice, decisions, and actions.